It's surprising to see you here. We have snow piles
outside.
It's
a little chilly. I mean, yeah. I shouldn't say it's that bad. I just left Dallas. It was about 20 degrees, but still cold.
Mm-hmm. David, just tell us a little bit about coming into the show. I know you're going to be up on the stage tomorrow with Lee, and maybe a little bit about what you want to share with the audience.
Well, you know, when Lee Trevino takes the stage, you know, I sit down. I become a listener, not a talker, but he's been a dear friend of mine. He's a great entertainer. He's funnier than the Dickens. And he and I have actually never done a kind of a two on the stage, even though we've been close. He's always done his thing, and I've always done mine. So it'll be interesting, and he'll come up with a lot of ideas, and I'm going to throw a few questions at him and get him talking about maybe stuff that he normally wouldn't do himself. So,
Well, you said that...
I want to ask him how he felt when he chipped in on Tony Jacklin, you know, when he won the British Open Championship and some other bits and pieces.
I have to ask you, having recently had the chance the last couple of years to go out to Marion a couple of times and go through their great historical archives room, John Capers, their historian, showed me the putter that you donated. I got a chance to hold that.
That's the actual putter, too. There are several copies of it, but that's the... I actually cried when I took that to UPS. I really did. It was like taking one of my arms off.
But it had to be, and I know you talked a little bit about this in your speech, but it had to be in some way special to see the championship, the U.S. Open Championship, go back to Marion, where you had one of your great moments of your career, and to see if they could make that event work there again.
Well, they did make it work. It wasn't easy. It had a lot of issues, primarily the weather made it very difficult for spectators and everything. Crossing the road back and forwards for players and the spectators was difficult. Nobody missed their tee time. I think the course, the changes they made for the tournament, one over par won the course. Nobody shot 20 under, so I think the course was great. And I think it was nice that, you know, they took it with modern-day golf balls and modern-day clubs and athletes of today playing the game. And they played the same course that Bobby Jones played on, the same course Hogan played on, and Trevino and those players. So I think from that standpoint, it was good stuff. And I think the players, if you ask them today now that it's over, I think they would have all said it was fantastic.
David, now the thought is, because they made that model work, that potentially some of the older clubs could host an event again that people thought for years there's no way they could do it anymore. Is there any of the other clubs out there that you see that maybe you played back in your day that you'd love to see them have a shot again, whether it's a U.S. Open or a PGA?
Well, I don't know enough about the logistics, what surrounds other clubs. If you look at Wingfoot, you look at Oakmont, you look at Oakland Hills, which is maybe the toughest course in America. You know, they're all in residential communities, so you need massive parking facilities. You need a huge amount of acreage for all the corporate tents and stuff. So I think they made it work at Marion, and that was a very tight space. So if they made it work there, they can make it work pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, Mike Davis is working on, I guess, L.A. Country Club now, or L.A. North, or whatever that is for a few years down the road. And
well, I like what Mike's doing. They've gotten away from rough everywhere. They've made chipping more important now, like they did at Pinehurst. And they did the same thing at Marion, where they had some chip and run areas. And I like the fact that he's thinking outside the box sometimes. And I like the fact that he's still staying inside the box. So I think he's doing an awesome job of trying to find new venues and collaborate those with traditional venues. So that's good.
Is that key to growing the game? Some people say, well, in tennis, you only have one major here, the U.S. Open. It's always in New York. But yet golf, you have three of them here. They move them around the country. It exposes more cities, more people to see the great game.
Well, I think it's good for the game. I think it's, you know, the Masters plays at the same place every year. And I think that's a very traditional aspect. And that won't change. And I think the USGA go to different venues, and I think that's a good thing. And when you go to different venues, you produce different types of winners too. I think the USGA is all about exposing the game in various areas, so I certainly don't have a problem with it. I like a little bit of tradition, and I like a little bit of modern, so I think it's a nice blend.
If you could, finally, just in closing, tell us your thoughts, sort of maybe a little bit about the state of the industry as you see it, and also tell people a little bit also about what you're still doing, how you're staying involved in the game.
Well, I don't do much, actually, to be honest with you. I play at my club quite a bit. I still like to practice when the weather's nice. Trevino and I play quite a bit of golf together. In the last year or two, I've been very fortunate to play with President Bush, and I love playing with him. He's a great guy, and he loves golf, and he's got a great sense of humor. I do a few outings. I play in the Greats of Golf for 3M and for our sponsors in Houston, Insperity, so I enjoy doing that. I wish there were two or three more of those, because they're fun for all of my era guys to kind of get together for two or three days. But other than that, I don't do much.